John chapter 13. Jesus is with his disciples on the night of his arrest and before his crucifixion. He had had that Passover supper, that which he had desired to eat with his disciples. He had told them that one of that number was going to betray him. Judas had left and gone out to do what he was going to do. Jesus began in the latter part of the 13th chapter to bring one of the greatest discourses that's ever been given to God's children. And he spoke to them in specific relationship regarding their service and the encouragement to their service in light of what was about to happen. I want to ask you to listen with me what Jesus said in John chapter 13. And I'll read just verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." It's interesting to me that he repeats that statement both before and after that expression that says, "as I have loved you." "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for the other." In our culture, love is a word that's become synonymous with a lot of other things, that many of which are neither biblical nor true. I remember one time a preacher that was talking used the illustration, the old commercial a long time ago said, "I love baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet." He said, "No wonder our wives get confused when we say we love baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Oh, by the way, I love you too." I want to show you today the foundation that ought to be in every relationship that we have. Makes no difference whether it's a romantic relationship with a spouse or one who might well become our spouse, whether it's a parental relationship with a love for children, whether it's a church member with a love for another church member, or whether it's an enemy that we're told to love. There are certain things that Jesus has said that are fundamental to all our relationships. "Love one another as I have loved you." Let me ask you to look too for a moment just a little further over in that discourse that he gave to his disciples, and look in John chapter 14 for a moment. Look with me at verse 23. Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." We're to love like Jesus loved us. But part of that is in our relationship with him. But if we're going to love him, we have to obey his words. We can't decide we're going to define love based on our feelings. Love is defined by the actions set out in the Word of God. "If a man love me," and I think it would be safe to say, "if a woman loves me, if a child loves me, if anyone loves me, they will keep my words." The commitment of our obedience to Christ in obedience to his words governs our behavior in all of our lives, but for the sake of this morning, in particular, in our relationships with other people. Basically, what it comes down to is I can't love other people if I don't love Jesus Christ. My love will be skewed if I don't love other people the way Jesus loved me and the way he told me to love him. It might be my feelings, it might be my emotions, but the depth of that love is defined by my obedience to Jesus Christ. If you go back into the book of Matthew, and you look at, again, the words that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, part of this particular statement was in our Bible study class this morning from an Old Testament site from which Jesus quotes. Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 36. There was one who asked Jesus, what's the great commandment? What's the principal commandment? What's the primary commandment of all the commandments in the Bible? What's the most important one? Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one, by the way, he says, you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The second one is like unto this, like unto it, this way. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus linked those two statements as being like one another. Jesus said our love, he reinforced what was said in the scriptures, that the priority of our love is to be with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And in a different place when this same thing is spoken, it says with all of our strength. You see, folks, our love for the Lord involves the entirety of our being without any reservation, without any portion of me being held for myself. And the second one is likened to it, this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Our love to one another is to be without reservation, without a self part. If I'm going to love the Lord, then I've got to obey him. If I'm going to love him, I've got to love him with all of myself. Those two things are going to translate to the relation. I don't care whether it's a relationship with a spouse, whether it's a relationship with a sibling, whether it's a relationship with a church member, whether it's a relationship to a neighbor down the street, or whether it's a relationship to the person that you don't have a great deal of affection for to start with. The way we treat them is determined by the Word of God. Now, I understand. I love my wife with my affections and my feelings differently than I love all of you. That's not to say that I love you less. It's just that that relationship is a unique relationship that reminds us of the relationship between Jesus and his church. There is a bond there that makes the two of us one. I love her in a different way than I love my children and my grandchildren. And I love you in a different way than I love any of them. But the principles that define that love are the same principles, and they require the same commitment with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. And folks, if you think that takes commitment to love a wife or to love a kid or to love a church member, think about loving your enemy. And by the way, Jesus does command us to do that. And I got to thinking, with his word, with his example, with his direction, what does it mean to love like he loved me? What's the scope of that? Well, I'm going to call just three thoughts. I could talk about it from, as the old saying my grandmama used to use when I was a little boy, I could talk about that till the cows come home. I never did understand it because I never did have any count. But I could talk about it for a while. But I want to give just three ideas this morning. We'll expand it, Lord willing, over the next two Sundays. But I'm going to ask you to notice with me what he said about his love. The first of all, the thing that's really, to use an expression that we've used a couple of times in our Tuesday morning Bible study, talking about the things that we learned there, that's deep. Fixing to get deep. Love is not a feeling. There's feelings that go with it. As the writer of that psalm said, if you think about it, and if that's not the definition of love, then the feelings that are brought about in us pale. But you see, love, as Jesus loved us, was not a feeling. It was a choice. As a matter of fact, the Greek word that's often used and translated as love in the New Testament scriptures means a willful love, a choice. Now, listen with me to some of the statements that Paul said in the book of Romans. Look in Romans chapter 9. That choice was not based on something that we did to attract his attention. You know, in our culture, the idea of having somebody love me depends on what perfume I wear, what aftershave lotion I spray on myself, what kind of clothes I wear, what kind of car I drive, what attractiveness that I might put forward. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, beloved, or God's Word's going to tell you. God made a choice to love us, not founded at all upon what we did to get his attention. Listen to two passages. Romans chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading at verse 11. He's talking about Jacob and Esau. For the children, the two of them, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Did God do it wrong? God forbid. You see, the reason I read that passage is a reminder to us that God didn't love us because we proved ourselves. God didn't love us because we showed that we could be lovable. He loved Jacob. The Bible says he hated Esau. Have you ever done a character study of both of those men side by side? Esau was probably a more lovable individual than Jacob was. In fact, Jacob's very name translates from a word which means a supplanter, a deceiver. He took advantage of people. He took advantage of his daddy. He took advantage of his brother. Wasn't anything very lovable about him. Esau, he was a good old country boy. He was a hunter. He was a cooker. He liked to catch wild game. He liked to fix it to eat. He wanted to do what his daddy wanted him to do. Jacob was not any better than Esau was. Folks, I make that statement this morning so we understand that the love of God toward us is not based on our proving ourselves. It was a matter which Jesus chose to do. I will tell you today, beloved, that our love to other people is to be based on that same principle. I don't give you my love because you proved to earn it. I give you my love because Jesus said I'm to love you the way he loved me, and that's the way he loved me. Now, 50-something years ago, he gave me some eyes to see that young lady She's younger than I am. But the actions of our relationship are not based, not to be based, on whether or not I like what she's doing at that particular moment. Whether or not I like the way she has her hair cut. Whether or not I'll... That love is because God joined me and her together as one. God joined us in Jesus Christ. And we are one together in the Lord. And our relationship is to be a relationship of willful choice to love one another as God has loved us in Jesus Christ. Another passage in the book of Romans that's a rather startling passage, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You remember the words in that song about the thief on the cross? Even as Jesus was in the throes of agony of all that went along with the suffering on the cross, one of those two thieves turned to Him and made a request. It's an interesting request that I don't have time to get into fully this morning. But he said, "Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus looked upon that man who was dying for the crimes and the wrongs that he had done, and he was rightfully being judged for what he had done. He admitted that to the other thief. When the other thief mocked Jesus, he said, "Look, this man's done no wrong. We're getting what we deserve." While we were yet sinners. We don't wait, folks, for folks to behave like I want them to in order to act in love toward them. I don't wait. I can't wait and obey the Lord. I can't wait till somebody else is doing what I want. And then today I love them and tomorrow they don't do what I want and don't act in love toward them. I can't. Not in love the way Jesus loved me. Because He loved me by choice before I had done any good or evil. And then one other passage I would call your attention to. In the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. "For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." I've preached a lot of sermons on the first part of that, the last part of that, and the hope that we have. But you understand that statement that the Lord said, "I change not." The love that He has toward us doesn't change. He said in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you." And he made that statement to a group of people that he had already told he was about to bring the Babylonians on because of their sin. It wasn't because they were such good folks. And yet in the promise of chastisement, God said, "My love for you hasn't stopped." Beloved, that's how He loved us. He made a choice before the foundation of the world. He made a choice of me while I was yet sinful in my nature. He brought me by His Holy Spirit while I was His adversary. While I was enmity against God. And yet the grand promise is His love for me never changes. Realize the challenge that gives to us as we love one another. The challenge that issues to me when He says love others as I have loved you. I can't change loving in a godly way because I don't like what they're doing. I can't change loving in a willful way because they disagree with me. I can't change and stop loving because God never stops loving me. You see, it struck me. I'm sitting by myself. And it struck me, it's easy for us to sit down and look at some passage of Scripture and, oh, we'll look at that passage where he loved me before the foundation. Oh, that's my hope of eternity. It is. He loved me while I was a sinner. It is. But it's also the challenge for me to love somebody else the same way. I can't do it completely. I can't do it perfectly. Just like Paul said, the things I ought to do, I don't do. The things I ought not to do, that's what I wind up doing. But then he went on to say, God have mercy upon me, a sinful man. I can't make excuse for it. But I am challenged to be the same way. To love, not based upon an action, but a choice of will. To love, not waiting for somebody to reach a standard, but even while they're yet sinners. To love in a way that doesn't change from one day to the next. Have you ever heard somebody describe and said, oh, you see that person, they're the same each time you see them. And we think that's such a good characteristic that I know what I'm getting every time I deal with them. Well, you know what? That's exactly the way our love is supposed to be toward each other. Now, there's times that the Scriptures tell us that we need to rebuke, we need to correct, we need to call to repentance. But even that's not in pride and in arrogance. It is in a love that says, God loved me enough to call me and never let me go. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved me enough to die. Jesus loved me enough to leave heaven. Jesus loved me enough to keep loving me when I was like the prodigal and off in a pig pen somewhere. Jesus loved me enough that he wouldn't let go. Folks, we think about those things. How much do they direct our love for one another? How much do those fundamental foundational principles lay the groundwork with which we see one another today? Love one another as I have loved you. Folks, I'm going to tell you, if we look at the way Jesus loved us, it will humble our hearts. The first thing it will do is draw us to him in repentance. Because he said you got to obey my word. If you're going to love me, then you will obey. The way you obey affects one another. See, it's all you. Maybe you're here today and know that there's a time and a place in your life when there's something that you need to turn from. Maybe it's something you need to come and say, I need to take my life. I need in a public way to say, I'm going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to obey him. Maybe it's something that God knows about. You need to repent from where you stand or sit today. But if you think of how he's loved you, I will tell you when we walk out this door today, folks, that ought to be the fundamental principles by which we love one another. May God help is my prayer.